Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we provide you practical tactics to help you lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer, a current Leadership Development Workshop facilitator, and Executive Education Adjunct Professor. Today, we're tackling a tough topic for most leaders, conflict management. Conflict is inevitable at work. It comes up each and every day. When you deal with people and you try to solve complex problems, you're going to have conflict. And conflict is good. Let's learn how each individual approaches conflict and how to match that conflict style with the appropriate situation. Let's dive in. When I led teams in the Army, we had conflict. And conflict was good. We were able to solve complex problems. We were able to use creative thinking. So in the military, we have there's rules and there's regulations, there's policies, there's procedures. And on paper, that is how things are supposed to get done. But the difference is what happens in reality. Here's what is supposed to happen. Here's what is happening. And that delta on how to get things done to still meet the intent of the policy, the procedure, the regulation, the intent, and that gap is where conflict happens. I had an experience with my soldiers where we'd go out on supply routes to recover damaged or destroyed vehicles. And we had the intent of what was supposed to happen. Leave the operating base. Here's the intelligence that we had. We knew the type of vehicle to be recovered. We knew the type of battle damage that had occurred, but we didn't have all the information. We knew that we needed to pull security, and we knew we needed to recover that vehicle to get back to our operating base safely. How we did that is where we would have some of that creative conflict come up. Now, in most times, speed was a necessity. So we always didn't have time to really dig in deep and get every person's opinion on every little nuance of what was happening. But we also didn't have time to avoid conflict, because if we just avoided things, we missed things. We missed opportunities to find an easy answer, to find a more effective way of recovering a vehicle, to find a more efficient way of communicating with one another. So a lot of times we operated in this compromising space or in this accommodating space based on the needs of the team. And that was okay. Again, because it led us to quality answers, to innovative solutions, to better decisions. Now, as I fit into more of a senior leadership role down the road when I worked in private industry, what I found myself doing was handling conflict, but I was handling it in one specific manner. I would know that we had a meeting coming up, or we were going to have a conversation coming up, and it was going to be a discussion about a enterprise level solution or a discussion on a new policy or a new way of doing something, whether that be reward systems, whether that be how we're going to handle learning and development. And I had very strong feelings about what I thought right looked like. So before the meeting, I would go talk to my peers and I would tell them what I was thinking, and I would try to understand what it is they were thinking, and we would come to an understanding of what we thought right was going to look like. And then when we actually got into the conversation, the meeting, I would be the first one to speak. I'd be the first one to inject myself into the conversation, because I wanted what I thought was right, the method, the way of moving forward, the decision, the outcome I wanted to happen. So I influenced that as much as I could prior to the meeting. And what I didn't realize was happening was that was shutting other people out. That was putting other people on the outside looking in. So instead of being able to bring their voice to the table, I had already influenced three or four core people. We had an alliance, if you will. We were on the same page. And we influenced that outcome without ever bringing people's perspective or opinion to the table. And I didn't realize how detrimental that could be in certain situations, because I was more concerned about what I wanted and what I thought was best for the organization, not what we thought was best for the organization. So in those certain contexts, I was actually using a more competitive style of conflict management, which can be misconstrued as bullying. So as I grow as a leader, as I grow in taking on roles that are more complex, what I'm finding is different situations require different types of conflict handling modes. So I do what any good researcher does, and I go and start looking up and researching about different conflict management, different conflict handling modes. And what I discovered was the Thomas Kilman instrument. And I started reading more and more about the Thomas Kilman assessment and the five conflict handling modes and when they should be applied. So what I want to do is share some of that, what those five different modes are with you, when they can be applied, and how you can utilize those as a leader so that you can better navigate conflict and your team can better navigate conflict. In conflict situations, we can describe an individual's behavior across two dimensions using the Thomas Kilman instrument. One is assertiveness. And assertiveness is the extent to which you attempt to satisfy your own concerns. And that's what I was overusing, was that a very highly assertive manner of conflict management. The other line that you get take into consideration is cooperativeness. And cooperativeness is when you put others' concerns ahead of your own. So you have an X factor and a Y vector here of assertiveness and cooperativeness. And along these paths, the Thomas Kilman instrument helps you identify is what conflict handling mode. Are you highly assertive and highly cooperative? Are you highly assertive and low cooperative? Are you low cooperative and low assertiveness? Where do you fall? And what is your more natural tendency on how you handle conflict? So by understanding that, then you can see, am I overusing or am I underutilizing a certain conflict handling mode in different situations? So let's dive into those five different modes. The first is competing. And this is where I was as a leader. This is high assertiveness, low cooperativeness. Think of this as the my way or the highway approach to conflict management. You're focused on winning. You're making sure your concerns are heard. You're making sure your concerns are met. And oftentimes it's at the expense of others. So you're going to sacrifice relationships sometimes when you use this conflict handling mode. But there are appropriate times to use it. Think of crisis management. Think of emergencies where quick decisions are needed and you don't have time to take different opinions into consideration. And you have the expertise and it's your decision to make. So when you're protecting something critical, like your company values or safety, at that point in time, you make that decision and you take ownership and you take control of the situation because you don't have time to peel things open a little bit more and really talk through things and weigh pros and weigh cons. You need a decisive action. You need it taken now, and you're the person to do it. The potential downsides of this conflict handling mode, though, is that, again, it can damage relationships if you use it too often or if you use it too aggressively. You can still be competitive and still make sure your needs are met, but you can do it in a manner that's more receptive to others on your team or peers that you're working with. All right, the next conflict handling mode is called accommodating. This is low assertiveness and high cooperativeness. So accommodating is really the opposite of competing. It's when you set aside your own concerns to satisfy the concerns of other people on your team, other peers that you're working with. Again, there's a time and place to use this. So you can think about when the issue matters more than the person, than the other person, than it does to you. So if you're dealing with something that is not very important to you, but you can see it's important to the person that you're working with or talking with, then you're going to be more apt to accommodate them. A lot of times we have competing needs and competing constraints when we work on cross-functional teams. And you'll see in certain situations, you'll recognize that, geez, this is very important to this person. It's not that important to me. Let me help accommodate you through this so that we can work to a common solution, but I'm going to make sure that your needs are met. And you can use this to preserve harmony or goodwill in relationships. When those things that come up aren't that important to you and you want to make sure that the other person is supported and they can trust you and they can count on you, accommodating is the way to handle those conflicts. It does come with some trade-offs. The potential downside is that you might be taken advantage of, or if you're overutilizing this conflict handling mode, you might become and build this feeling of resentment. You might feel like, I'm always the one that's accommodating my team. I'm always the one that's accommodating my peers. I'm always the one that's giving in. And that is a signal that you might be using accommodating too often to handle conflicts. The next conflict handling mode is called avoiding. And this is low assertiveness and low cooperativeness. You can think of avoiding as sidestepping conflict altogether. It's your concerns aren't being addressed. Other people's concerns aren't being addressed. You're just avoiding what's in front of you in the present moment. Now, you may be thinking that, geez, I want to handle conflict head on. I don't want to be a person that avoids conflict. But there are instances where avoidance is a beneficial approach to handling conflict. When the issue is trivial or you need time to gather more information, if you're not ready to address the situation and you need to gather more data or gather more facts or talk to a few more people or understand something a little bit deeper before you try to tackle it, you can avoid that conflict in the present moment, but you're going to have to handle it in the future. When emotions are running high and a cool-off period is needed, this happens to all of us. You get into a situation and you find yourself heated and the situation continues to escalate and neither person is listening to each other anymore. It's time to avoid that conflict, go cool down, and then come back at a later date to resolve it when emotions are back in check and under control, when you can speak and use civility and then handle that conflict with a different mode or different style. The downsides: avoiding conflict too often can cause unresolved issues to build up over time. So if you avoid conflict and don't come back to it using a different style, that conflict's not going to go away. Things don't just resolve themselves as much as we hope or would like them to. You've got to be able to choose under what circumstances you're going to address conflict and then how you're going to address it. It may not be in the present moment, but that conflict and that situation is still going to need to be addressed sometime either in the short term, midterm, or long term future. And then another approach is collaborating. This is high assertiveness and high cooperativeness. Collaborating means working together to find a win-win solution so that your needs are met, your team's needs are met, or your peers' needs are met as you navigate this. Both parties are going to walk away feeling that they can trust one another, having openly communicated with one another, and feeling supported by one another. You can use collaborating when both parties' needs are important and relationships matter. This is usually when you have something new, a complex problem to solve, something that's being created, from the start, and both people are bringing something, some sort of expertise or insights to the table. So you're creating long-term solutions and it requires buy-in from all sides. So you're going to want to collaborate on a solution or collaborate through conflict management when things are of high importance, have high impact, and are very meaningful to everybody involved. The downside of collaborating is that it's time consuming and may not be practical for minor issues. So if you have the time, or more importantly, when a situation requires more time to solve and work through, collaboration is the way to go. But you can't necessarily collaborate on everything because you'll get slowed down and mired down in the decision-making, the communication process. And that may feel like nothing's getting done because we're collaborating, we're hearing everybody. So you've got to find that balance of being able to understand how much time do we have, how important is it to everybody, what are the impacts, and then can we collaborate on this, or should we move to a different style of handling the conflict and ideas that are coming up? And then you have that fifth style, which is compromising. And this is right in the middle. This is a moderate assertiveness, a moderate cooperativeness, where you have finding the middle ground where both sides, both either people or the people at the table, are giving something up to reach a mutually acceptable solution or outcome to something. This is where you find yourself saying, I can live with that. I can give this up. You can give that up and it still gets the job done. I can live with that and move forward. You're consenting. You're finding consensus, which is different than collaboration where you're finding win-win solutions. This is more of a, this will satisfy the needs. This will get the job done. We're both okay with it. Okay, let's move forward. So it helps you move through things a little bit more swiftly, quickly, and still walk away feeling okay about everything. So when there's both parties have equal power, both parties have mutually exclusive goals, is a good time to use the compromising approach to conflict. The downsides that come with it, though, compromises can sometimes leave both parties feeling that they lost something important. So you're not necessarily finding ways to win-win with compromise. You're finding ways to walk away feeling okay about things, and you're giving up a little. You're bending, not breaking, right? The important thing to know about these five styles is that everyone has a natural tendency that they orient to. Being able to flex outside and identify under what situations, under what conditions that you might need to leverage one of the other four conflict management, conflict handling styles is important as a leader. It's important for your team. It's important for yourself. It's important for your organization to understand that. Overuse of one style has consequences just as much as underuse of another style comes with consequences. It's a trade-off. So understand what it is that you're willing to trade off, what the situation calls for, and then you can use the appropriate style accordingly. So how do you apply the Thomas Kilman model to your work and leadership? A few practical ways to do that. One, know your default style. And you can do that through taking the TKI assessment. I've done that assessment and facilitated workshops and found that it is really eye-opening when people think they're handling conflict one way, but they find out that they're handling it a different way time and time again. Or they find out that they are using two or three of the different modes appropriately, and then they can help somebody else kind of lean into one of those modes who may not be as comfortable using it. The other thing you can do to use these to leverage the strength of these five approaches is read the room. Understand who's in the room, what the situation is, what's the context, how much time do you have, how complex is the situation, who has strong feelings and who doesn't, right? And then you can flex your style appropriately. So being able to know your default, read the room, and then flex your style to what the situation calls for. And along the way, another way to apply the TKI model is to stay open and curious, as well as be comfortable with conflict. If you're asking how might we questions or what if type questions or why type questions, and you're doing that from a genuine place of curiosity, of learning, of growth, and you want to gain more perspective and you want to gain understanding, then conflict isn't necessarily negative. Conflict is when two parties' desires aren't being met. So finding a way to do that and the right context to do that in is all that matters. There is not a negative word or negative definition of conflict, yet we assign that feeling to it, some of us, when we hear the word conflict. And we say, geez, I want to avoid this. So once you understand what conflict is, you really realize you get more creative solutions. You get higher quality decisions. You get higher buy-in from your team. You get higher engagement when you can navigate conflict from a place of compromise or collaborative or even accommodating when need be. So each of us is capable of using all five conflict handling modes. None of us can be characterized as having a single style of dealing with conflict. It's what the situation calls for. Know when to use, what to use, and how to use those different styles, and you'll find you and your team are solving problems quickly, efficiently, effectively, with higher quality outcomes. Thank you for joining us here on Leadership Decoded in the Loop Internet Studio. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, like, comment, download this episode, and share it with your fellow leaders, because we want to get the word out to help everybody lead at their very best. If you're an organization that wants to invest in your team's leadership abilities, I want to work with you. I offer hands-on, highly engaging, research-backed workshops that make leadership development both affordable and accessible to your entire team. Check out my work at drwilliamramey.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. William Ramey, on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod, or send me an email at will@onthestacks.com. Thanks for tuning in to Leadership Decoded. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, and I'll see you the next time you press play.